No question about it.
So you've mentioned better metadata and title matching. I'm curious, are there any other requests you would make to current people volunteering at CABLE and working here right now on behalf of an archivist that might show up two more decades from now?
Well, I hate to be so detailed, and maybe it's a small point, but I did see like the date convention. I always like year, month, day, because down the line, once it goes into a big pot of files, if you just have month and day and like a person's last name, that really doesn't match up to a program, an episode, or a year. So that's pretty important information. And just to think about what they want to find in their own content, you know? Maybe it's like, oh, maybe your grandson, your granddaughter, you know, a colleague across seas wants to find this information. What would they search for? What is important? What kind of topics?
Okay, KABLE volunteers, take note.
Well, Salinas, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm personally, and I hope the listeners too, I'm super, super interested in this project, and I can't wait to see it come to fruition so that we can really get in and start digging through the old material. So please come in again as stuff develops so that we can talk more about what you found over the next few months.
Yeah, can I share how people can get in touch with me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't really share this, but I'm still learning about KABLE and want to know how people utilize the archives, what they're interested in. So my email is selina@kabu.org, and Twitter, it's /selina_sjsu. I have a template of a website that is images of audio casings of mystery content, where like it's maybe handwriting that's hard to read, things marked off, like maybe a person's name, where somewhere somebody is going to know more about this, and I'm happy to share that when people contact me.
All right, great. Well, we are out of time. We've been speaking with Selina Chow, who is KABLE's official archivist. Thanks, Selina.
Thanks.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Kitchen Conversations.
KABLE Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Friends of Noise Benefit Show on Sunday, October 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Friends of Noise formed to create more opportunities for youth to produce, perform, and gather at all-ages music shows and raise awareness for the need of an all-ages venue. Performing at this benefit will be Explode Into Colors, Vampire, and Hugo Berlin. Again, that's Friends of Noise Benefit Show, Sunday, October 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABLE Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of AFFECT, a community event about the work, culture, and design of social change. The conference will take place October 7th and 8th at the Ziba Auditorium in Portland. AFFECT will feature talks from Spawn on Me creator and podcaster Khalif Adams, Ferguson activist and social impact designer Dee Nichols, Nadia Gathers from Code 2040, and many more. Again, that's AFFECT, October 7th and 8th at the Ziba Auditorium, 810 Northwest Marshall Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
So, look at got the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord God he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know and 2 years later I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches, praying that I make it. Yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard, double temptation in my face. My kryptonite is damaged. They say if you knew better you would do better. But I know we're still living up and do whatever.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Mary Postlewaite with Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM. How are you guys tonight? So, as I posted earlier, I have a few things that I want to talk about. But the first thing that I want to talk about is some medical information that I received, or I had actually seen it in a show that I was watching the other day. And it interests me because I have a lot of friends who have real severe allergies to various types of things. And it's about the EpiPen. And I learned this the other day that the EpiPen has gone up in price to like over $600. So, and that's way up from, that's way up from where it was before. So, you know, a lot of people aren't able to come up with the money to be able to afford it. But what they don't tell you is that there is a generic form. The thing is, when you have an allergic reaction and you go to your doctor, you have to ask them specifically for the generic version.
Right.
Right. You can't just say, oh, I need EpiPen, you know, because all our lives, that's what we thought, EpiPen, that's all they have. But they don't. And it's hundreds of dollars cheaper. And I have a few stores here that sell it, so I wanted to let it be known. Like, you can get it at CVS, you can get it at Walgreens, you can get it at Sam's Club online.
So you have to specifically ask your doctor for this, correct?
Yes, you do. It's called the EpiClick. The EpiClick EpiPen, I guess. So you have to specifically ask for that. You can't just ask for the EpiPen.
Right.
So, I was watching Dr. Oz. He's like, I don't know, I kind of like him a lot. I don't watch him all the time, but I kind of like him when I do watch him. And so that's where I saw it. And he himself was like, you know, I didn't even know it was out there. You know, he's always prescribed the EpiPen. He didn't really realize that there was a generic version that's so much hundreds of dollars less. Right. So I just kind of wanted to put it out there and let people know that, you know, there is a version of the EpiPen that is hundreds of dollars less than $600 and some dollars for it. So when you go to your doctor, you know, ask them for the EpiClick. They'll know what you're talking about. It's a generic form of it, same ingredients. So, you know, save yourself hundreds of dollars and maybe somebody's life. So, yeah, I thought you guys might want to know that. So, what do you think about that? Did you guys hear about that?
I did hear about that, yes.
Yeah.
I also heard that the price increased somewhat recently, like $400 in the last 10 years or something. Yeah. And that was kind of based on kind of the greedy practices of the pharmaceutical company that actually currently owns the patent. So
right.
I think they got it like 10 years ago or something, and slowly but surely they've been increasing the price.
Right.
While at the same time also, as you say, create like a marketing campaign to kind of like, you know, put the EpiPen at the forefront mm-hmm. of any kind of allergic reaction.
Right. Know? Yeah, the lady who, I guess, I don't know if she owns the name EpiPen or...
I think, yeah, she owns the pharmaceutical company that currently owns the patent. You
right.
know, so it's like the invention. And it's also the invention... is patented, but then also the invention was created thanks to our tax dollars.
Absolutely.
Like the research that gave birth to it. You know, so now you end up with a company that owns, you know, something that was created with our dollars and that's right. making huge profit out right. of it.
And holding, you know, those of us who have or have to use it, they're holding our lives in their hands,
right.
you know. So, and they're not allowing us to know the additional information that's out there for them. So, yeah, I just thought I'd share that for all of those out there who don't know anything about what's going on out there. So there's a few other things that I wanted to talk about too, and I just kind of want to jump right on into them. I want to give a small update on the air quality issue that I had brought to you guys previously. The glass company out in my area of town is shutting down due to new measures that they have to take to help not put the pollutants in the air. So they're shutting down. So they can't measure up to the standards that need to be done. That's okay. It'll be all right. and the DEQ or the
I think it was the DEQ.
Got funding for air monitoring stations, new air monitoring stations. But you know, and you got to crawl before you walk. So I'm gonna say that after the last testing that I know that they did and the levels had come down just a little bit, and knowing that the state has given them some kind of funding to at least start something, kind of means a lot, you know, for me. As I explained before, my family having the issues that we have, that's important to me. So I'm looking forward to seeing whether or not that's gonna, you know, pan out in the future. We already know the air is bad, but you know, I guess they gotta monitor it. So
right.
That's a lot of air to monitor.
It is a lot of air, but you know, like I said, you gotta crawl before you walk. And at first there was nothing being done, now there's something being done.
Right.
So
yeah, and we can see also the direct impact of like people, companies, right, mm-hmm. Realizing that maybe their emission is not, you know, up to code. And so with the new standard, they just cannot afford being in business anymore. You know?
Yeah, it kind of sucks. But for me, life is important.
Right.
You know, everybody's life is important. And air is something that no matter who you are or what you are, you have to have it to survive.
Right.
So, you know, you can always find another job. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but at the same...
I mean, I sound cruel, but, you know, that's how I feel.
Well, and also I just wonder how we can make sure the, you know, the system that's out there is, you know, offering other alternatives, you know?
I hope so.
Right, because, like, how can we continue to produce glass without, mm-hmm. you know, the polluting chemicals, you mm-hmm. know, because it's still something that's relevant and that we need. So how can we actually incentivize people or, you know, to use technologies that are not pollutant or to use, you know, things that, you know, are green technologies, you know?
Right.
Sometimes I just feel like we choose also to like spend money or research certain things over others, you know?
Yeah, I think that too sometimes. Sometimes I feel like the state or the federal government, whatever, whoever you want to talk about, throws it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's money that they spend that could, in my opinion, be spent on way better issues or things, you know, that are more impactive on the communities. And with that being said, I have some information here for some people. I'm going through some issues with my management company. I won't say any names.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, the tenants out in the area that I'm in are being, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they're not being given the opportunities to, you know, advance, or they're being suppressed in some kind of way. Mm. There's been lots of quote unquote scandal going on down there with money and the handling of everything. And, you know, I've been having some issues, so I don't want to talk really on what the issues are because I need to get it handled, but I do want to throw out some information that I found out and that I have. And you can get these books just about anywhere that's, you know, public.
Yeah, Kebu has lots of them, the street roots.
The little street roots books. I keep them, and I keep them up to date because there's a lot of information in them. And I have the one, it's from last year to the middle of this year, but the renter's rights stuff that's in here is important. And for all of you out there who rent your houses, especially for the ones who, you know, may live in low-income housing or, you know, any kind of Section 8 or, you know, any kind of funded program like that, it's especially important that you hear that your rights, you have rights, and don't allow the people who rent to you to make your life so hard that you can't live, okay? People who are in any type of government funding housing, they have additional rights also. So I want to throw a couple numbers out there for people who may be going through it that are really important, and I've spoken with them myself, so you know, I want to put them out there. One is the Community Alliance of Tenants, CAT for short, and it's 503-288-0130. You can call them and they will come out to where you're at and help you form a tenants association, help you along the process to start it, to, you know, help get you in with a lawyer, all kinds of stuff. It's a really good program. So, also there's Central City Concern, and that's 503-525-8483. And it's for, people who have HIV or, and it's Section 8, I believe it's if there's any, I don't know if it's just HIV, specialized, yeah, low barrier housing communities specialized in HIV, communities. So that's important too, that you guys have those resources. So don't forget those two particular resources. Both of them have given me some very good information on what I need to do in my situation. So, you know, and Marshalia in the engineering board, she knows that I'm not really one to talk to people like that, you know. So,
except on the radio,
right? Because, you know, I love you guys. And then the last one is Home Forward. It's the rent assistance number, and it's 503-802-8300. And you can call them and they can help you with your rent. I think it's once a year, and they'll help you out. So, you know, call that number. They have a public housing number also that's 503-280-3760 if you find yourself needing, you know, low income housing, or you're homeless and you need to be put on a list or talk to somebody about housing. Those are those numbers right there. Are some numbers that everybody should know, in my opinion. So,
and the Home Forward rent assistance, is that for anybody, no matter where you live, or do you have to live in?
You have to live in the
a Home Forward.
The funding, right?
Okay.
So, or be trying to live in the public housing system.
Okay.
So, they have a and the next show I can actually pick up some numbers. We have a list at my apartments of the different housing places that will help with housing, you know, low income. There's public housing, there's affordable housing, there's Section 8. So there's all kinds of different housing programs out there that you can utilize. And nowadays, the homelessness is becoming such a big thing here that I feel like those numbers and that information needs to be gotten out so that people know, because some people might not know who to call or what the number is. So, you know, and you can always call 211 and they'll give you all the information that you need also. And that's also a free number too. So I just want to put all that out there. Now I'm talking specifically right now to people who do live in low-income housing or a Section 8-based housing. Like I said, you have extra, kind of like you got more, you're special. You know, you get a little bit more...
protections.
Right. And you need to make sure yourself, number one, you keep your receipts. keep all of your documentation. Get a copy of every single paper.
Or take photos.
Absolutely. The whole lease, not just one paper. You want copies or pictures of the whole thing. Any interaction that goes between you and your management company or whoever your money goes to, you need to make sure you get documentation of that.
Everything.
Everything. Because what happens is people move, you know, you get a new manager, they sell the property, whatever it may be, paperwork gets lost, quote unquote lost, you know, and anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us who do live in low income housing, you know, it's a little different for us. It's in our lease that we are to follow these specific types of rules, but if we're not getting what we're supposed to get from the management company, we can't follow those rules. Therefore, we're in, you know, jeopardy of losing our homes. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I found myself recently, and I'm fighting. I can't allow it to happen to me and my family. So just make sure that you keep all your information, mm-hmm. everything. I don't care if you think it's stupid. You keep that. Make sure you keep that for at least 5 years. Yeah. They go back 3 at my apartment, but I have everything from 2000. I got receipts from year 2000.
Because also if you do misplace something and go and ask for a copy of it, they can't tell you that they don't have it.
Yes,
you
know, they can.
They don't have to tell to give you another copy.
And that's what they did for us. We got a set of rules, a little piece of paper or whatever stating all these different rules that we had to abide by. And at the bottom of it, it said that if we didn't sign the paper, then they were going to consider that our 30-day notice. Hmm. And I'm like, what?
That's pretty radical.
You know, you really can't do that. Number one, because I live in low-income housing, you can't just tell me, sign this paper or you're out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. But to people who don't know their rights, they'll be like, oh, okay, and sign it because they don't know any different. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. You don't have to sign that paper. You signed your lease. You don't have to sign anything else without knowing exactly what it is that you're signing and understanding every word that's in that piece of paper. So, you know, I'm gonna be doing something about that too. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you guys to find yourself in the situation that I found myself here. I got receipts back to 2000, yet, you know, I'm having a hard time finding some of my paperwork because I trusted my managers. Mm-hmm. You know, I trusted that what they said was the truth. And you know, you never think it's going to happen to you, but it's happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So now you wish you had been super careful with every receipt.
With every receipt and every single piece of paper, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, just be mindful out there and keep your documentation. It's important that you do that. Anybody, really. It's really important that you keep your receipts and all your information.
And if you do take pictures, I would say then email it to yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
And have like a place in your emails where you save your important paperwork.
Or put it on a flash drive.
Right, exactly. You know? And if you have an email, change your password often.
Often. See me, I'm kind of hard at that, but you know, I'm sitting here looking at my paperwork and I'm noticing that I left a piece of paper at home, not that it's a big thing, but for one of the first times, I've actually wrote down what I was going to talk about, you know, because I do the freestyle thing. I really don't like script, but...
Roosevelt.
Yes, Roosevelt. That's mm-hmm. actually written here.
Yeah.
It's written right here.
Yeah. Should we take a quick musical break or...
Sure.
Sure.
So why don't you tell me who we're going to play?
Well, we have... we could do Shirley Brown, Women to Women.
Shirley Murdoch.
Yeah.
Woman to Woman.
I think it's actually Shirley Brown is who I found.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll work too.
Okay. Was there another Shirley Murdoch who...
it's okay.
Who played that song?
Yeah, that's cool. Way old back in the day.
Okay. Well, let's play it.
Okay.
Barbara, this is Shirley. You might not know who I am, but the reason I'm calling you is because I was going through my old man's pockets this morning, and I just happened to find your name and number. So woman to woman, I don't think it's being any more than fair than to call you and let you know where I'm coming from. Now, Barbara, I don't know how you're going to take this, but whether you be cool or come out of a bag on me, you see, it really doesn't make any difference. But it's only fair that I let you know that the man you're in love with, he's mine. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, the bed he sleeps in, and every piece of food he eats. You see, I make it possible. The clothes on his back, I buy them. The car he drives, I pay the note every month. So I'm telling you these things to let you know how much I love that man. And woman to woman, I think you'll understand just how much I'll do to keep him. Woman to woman, if you've ever been in love, then you know how I feel. And woman to woman, now if you were in my shoes, wouldn't you have done the same thing too?
We're back. I can't hear myself. Can you hear me? Good, because I can't hear me. Oh, I can now. So we're back, and I want to talk about the Lincoln High School Roosevelt situation. Now, anybody who knows of these two high schools, they know that Lincoln is predominantly white and Roosevelt is predominantly black and Hispanic. Lincoln football team protested the national anthem by going down on one knee, and they got all kinds of media coverage, whereas Roosevelt football players did the exact same thing and they didn't get any coverage. I wonder why that is.
Right.
So I wanted to bring a couple of the Roosevelt football players here and a coach, but nobody could make it, and that's okay. I got y'all. I got your back. What do you guys think about this? They're protesting the national anthem,
yeah,
due to all of the violence and the, mm-hmm, you know, the things that are going on. America's supposed to be the great melting pot of everywhere.
Right.
What do you feel? Would you have done that?
Would I have protested?
Absolutely.
Yes, I would have.
Me too.
And I feel like me going to Roosevelt, first of all, it kind of hits home. Mm-hmm. And then, two, why, the biggest question I have is why is it that, like, Roosevelt didn't get coverage? You know, what makes Lincoln so much better and Franklin so much better that they got coverage? And Roosevelt didn't. You know, we've had some of the best, you know, football stars on our team and some of the best coaches in the state. And so I don't understand why we're not getting coverage for this, you know. And it's really upsetting. I am really proud of my riders, though, you know, for standing up for what they believe in.
Absolutely.
And not letting anything or anyone stop that.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, like you said, we got their back, because even though they didn't get media coverage, then they're getting coverage now.
This is media coverage.
Yes, this is the media coverage.
This is the media coverage.
So any of you out there listening who go to Roosevelt or know somebody who goes to Roosevelt, know somebody who's on the football team, let them know that we got your back. And keep doing what you're doing. Believe in what you believe. And I'm right there 100% with you. To me, keep doing what you're doing. We're going to get you that coverage. We're going to get it out there. We're going to get your voices out there. And if you are listening or know somebody, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Let me give you the number to call in. It's 503-231-8187. Mm-hmm. I want to hear any thoughts that you have on anything that we speak of tonight. So go ahead and call in, or don't. Either way, you can get a hold of me on social media. I'm on Facebook right now, so you can also message me there. So yeah, keep it up, Lincoln. I mean, not Lincoln. Keep it up, Roosevelt.
Writers. Writers all day.
I'm all Lincoln. Hey, Lincoln.
No, Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's very important that, I mean, what they did to protest.
Absolutely.
You know, the national anthem. I think that, you know, it's also important that Lincoln and that the youth there also think that this is something of importance to
right.
them.
I was
and
just going
to
say
not
the same
to
thing.
Take away, not to yeah. take away from
of
them.
Of course. But then it is like really a problem that
right.
the media attention, you know, and, you know, here at Kebu, that's really why we do what we do, which is, you know, we actually invite people from the community at the grassroots level
right.
to come and be radio hosts, because then, you know, we are the ones who know what's happening in the community and what's important to talk about, you know. I think that it's can be very easy as a journalist, someone maybe who has been taught that it is your job to go into communities where you are maybe an outsider and gather information and then report on this. Yeah, I mean, that's one way of seeing journalism. I see journalism a very different way, you
mm-hmm.
know. I think that that only way is problematic, and I think that it's contributing to what's happening with police violence
mm-hmm.
and religious violence against Black folks, which is, you know, the media is helping create this this fear epidemic that's happening, that's leading to police officers, for some reason, feeling threatened. And
mm-hmm.
that's not okay.
No,
I think that
not.
That's not okay that, that we don't talk about it in these terms in the responsibility of the media. So I think it's very important that we rectify the balance and bring, you know, that perspective of, yeah, Lincoln High School did it, and that's
mm-hmm.
great. And Roosevelt High School did it as well, and that's great as well. And why is it that our community gives more coverage to youth in certain area than another? And
mm-hmm.
then also for me, the problem that it causes is like one of appropriation also, because I feel that, you know, when Black people protest, there's way more criticism than
there
when
is.
White people protest, right?
Yes.
So right now it feels like also there is a little bit of a, you know, a difference how the youth are treated with, you know, adults deciding or not deciding to pay attention.
Yeah. I'm looking here. I was listening, but I was looking at the profile here, and I see so many schools getting coverage over this here and in other states, and it just bothers me that you know, I feel like the youth in my community, they don't get heard,
right?
And
we don't get heard,
right? And it really bothers me. So
the only ones who get heard from the, like, my community are the ones that do good, you know, the straight A students, the mm-hmm. ones who the teachers or, you know, the ones who are in charge think are going to go somewhere in life, you know, right. who, and that's not okay. You know, everybody has something they're going through, or, you know, they have a story, and you can't just look at them and be like, oh yeah, that's not going to be the one to succeed, so we're going to go, you know, we're yeah, going right. to go on to the next. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, we'll get you out there, Roosevelt. Mark my words, we will. So let me move on to this this killer clown thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So
don't even get me started on this.
My daughter's scared of clowns.
No, I'm not scared, I'm terrified, and these clowns are no joke.
So all over the United States, these clowns are popping up everywhere. They started down south, and now they're here in Oregon. I've actually only heard or read about one attack downtown so far. I have heard of sightings, though, here in Oregon and yeah. here in Portland. This is crazy. You know, I saw a post today of a little kid, a little probably 1 or 2 years old, wearing a porcupine costume. And it said, this is what Halloween's about. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it is. So these grown people are dressing up in scary clown costumes, and they're literally scaring people, like, to the point where they're using weapons, they're, you know, terrorizing them in their homes, they're trying to snatch children, they're hiding, they're popping out on people, physically attacking people. This is crazy. I'll tell you what, you walk up to me looking like a clown, you're about to get punched in your face. Don't walk up to me in a clown suit. Don't do it. I was told that in Missouri and Kansas City, it's illegal. You're not allowed to walk around with your face
painted. Because of it?
I don't know if it's specifically because of that incident, but it's because of
that. I think it's just
I think it's against the law. Like, well, really?
Yeah, it is against the law.
And I'm like, they need to do that here too.
They really do.
It's crazy.
That's not okay.
Who am I supposed to say? Oh, he robbed me. Well, what does he look like? I don't know. He's got a white face and a big red nose. Okay, he looks like a clown. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that identifies who's doing it. Mm-hmm. It should be against the law. You should not be able to wear masks and, you know, face makeup, full face makeup
like that. And they're carrying weapons. And it's not like they're carrying a plastic sword. They're carrying actual machetes, actual axes, and, you know, bats and things like that. What are you walking around carrying those for? And literally attacking people and luring kids into the woods with candy or a bag, so-called a bag of candy, you know, like
I watched one with a bag.
Yeah.
And he was like, come here.
Come here.
And then he was walking backwards into the woods.
Yeah, and then he took a thing out of his bag. Like a weapon.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen that one too.
Yeah. I'm not with that. I'm really not. This is not okay. You know, our children should be safe. And honestly, Halloween is one of my favorite holidays.
Right. That's you know, kind of mess it up.
If anybody knows me, I kind of like the darker side of life, you know, in some instances. And Halloween is just, it's fun for me. Mm-hmm. And this just takes all the fun out of it for me.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. It makes me not even want to go and, you know, celebrate the Halloween, because you just don't know.
I really know some people who have not left their homes because they are afraid that they're going to be attacked by some random person who's dressed up as...
There was a girl in Chicago who happens to wear a lot of makeup
and she was shot.
And she was attacked by a group of people thinking that she was a clown.
Oh my God.
She was shot.
Was she shot?
Yes, she was shot.
You see there?
Like dead?
And she just... she's not dead.
No, I think she's in critical condition.
Oh, God.
It just goes to show you. I mean, and she just happens to wear heavy makeup, you know?
Yeah, that creates like a brand new element of just fear, you know, that is controlling all of us from, like, you know, the clown guys. I'm just guessing, you know, that it's because they feel like a lack of control,
right?
That they want to try to go out there and try to show that they have power and control over someone else, you know. I mean, I'm just guessing. I'm not really down with that either.
Me either.
But then it creates, then, you know, this whole, like, now everybody's afraid of clowns. and don't want to go. And then for Halloween's, how we're going to even like buy a costume, right. You know? But then you end up then with the flip side, which is I'm not going to let anybody scare me. And if I see anybody who looks like it, like you just said.
Right. And what happens if, you know, they're dressed in a Halloween costume? Like we're going trick or treating and they're dressed as a clown. And here the community jumps some dad dressed up for his 1 year old, you know? So
yeah,
that's crazy.
And knowing how many people have weapons in this country, I think we're not too safe.
No,
so.
I don't think we're safe either, and I don't like it. It's that's really crazy to me, just the whole thought about it.
Yeah, and now we're having, you know, like these people attacking, or these clowns attacking people, but now these people I see all over social media are like, well, now I'm going to start packing, and I'm going to go hunt these clowns.
Which creates more violence.
Right, and so now not only do we have this problem here, but we have another problem here, and it just doesn't make the situation any better.
Right, it sure don't, I swear.
And police, they don't even know what to do. Like, I watched a video.
Well, they're too busy.
Oh, but wait, I have some... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to make a bad record. Go ahead.
Okay, that's good then. So this is with something, because we were just talking about the Roosevelt, Lincoln and media coverage around, you know, Black Lives Matter and stuff. But this is what's happened also with the clowns. People have said, if you see people with clowns, no matter how afraid you are, don't shoot at them.
Right.
But you've never heard anybody say that for Black folks.
No,
right.
Not.
No matter how afraid or whatever you think this person have done, do not shoot. You've never heard, you know, a public figure say that.
Right.
Or a police, you know, official. But yet for the clowns.
Of course.
They say that.
Yeah. Why is that? Is it only because they can't be identified under their mask? Like, is it because? What is it? Like, that's kind of irritating to... I mean, it's so true, and it's really annoying that I never thought of that. Like, that kind of irks my nerves right now.
Well, I just want to say to anybody out there, if you're listening, if you see one of these clowns, please do not take it into your own hands.
No, please don't. Please
stay away.
Take
a picture, a video, call 911, something, because they really are out there attacking people, and they really are hurting people.
Yeah, some try to go into a school, too.
Right. Don't be a superhero, okay?
It's not worth your life or theirs, really, you know, to be honest.
But definitely make sure that you document it and let somebody know, because this needs to stop. I mean... It's not safe for our children, and we have the right to be able to walk down the street feeling safe without having to worry about somebody trying to murder us or jump us or whatever. So yeah, just, you know, document it and get it out there. Let somebody know. So I wanna go on into the police thing that you had said. Every day I wake up, I turn on the news, and I stopped watching it for a while because of all the violence and destruction that is on there every day when I watch it. But I've started watching it again because the issues that are coming up are really important to me. Anybody who knows me, you guys know that I have a biracial family, and with all of the media coverage about the police shooting, all of the Black folks, and you know, there's been some Hispanics, and now Standing Rock, they're, you know, out there in full force, standing there, won't let anybody go by or things like that. Why? And I'm talking to the police.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm talking to the officials who allow the police. Now, before I go any further, I will say that there have been some officers that have been caught and prosecuted. Mm-hmm. However, with that being said, it's not enough. The ones that are out there really hurting people, like really, really hurting people, need to be locked up. Yeah, there's husband or cops out there that are husbands that beat their wives.
And it's not even the cops. Did you see that video I tagged you in on Facebook of the gentleman who was being interrogated and the guy who was asking him the questions just attacked him because he was...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other guy came in and, like, didn't do anything, and he was, like, crying and sobbing.
Yeah,
and
did. Yeah. And it infuriated me. I saw a couple of posts like that.
So it's not only police, you know.
He's a police officer, too.
Well,
he's a detective.
Right. And not saying that all cops or all people in the law enforcement are bad, or that, you know, they're like that. But however, it's a lot.
However, you know, the coverage that we've been getting is that.
Yeah, so, it is that, right.
You know, if you want society to view you in a different light, then you need to show us different situations. You know, when you, now, regardless of race, when you go to shoot somebody, you don't have to shoot to kill.
Right.
You can shoot to maim.
And why are you using a gun in the first place?
Right.
Like, if they have a gun, I understand that. If they're pointing it at you, I understand.
If there's immediate, you know, imminent death, if you feel like you're about to get, you know, killed, then yeah.
Right. But you have a taser, you have pepper spray, you have so much other things.
Right.
Like, so many other things.
We're talking about police officers, detectives, people within the judicial system that absolutely just do things to people for absolutely no reason. Like, I'm watching them. The camera doesn't lie, you know? If you're watching it with your own eyes and then you're going to look at me and say I'm lying, I mean, that's kind of not even okay. Not even okay. But I say all this because, you know, my family is biracial. My daughter is Hispanic and my son is African American. And, you know, I have to tell him all the time to be careful when he goes outside because he gets viewed differently.
Right. My mom's always said that she didn't raise my brother to be a young, well, she couldn't raise my brother to be a young man. She had to raise my brother to be a young black man.
Right.
You know, she has to.
I have to put that in there.
Right.
For the simple reason that society views a black man differently than he views, or they view a man.
Right.
You know, and you see it all over the place. You know, oh, I got a new boyfriend. Well, what color is he? Is he white or black? I mean,
yeah, that's like one of the first questions that's asked.
You see it all the time, and it's in society. But however, with all of the violence that goes on, I have to teach my son that he is not just a young man.
Right.
I just have to, because he has to look at the fact that his skin is darker. And,
right, and not only is he dark, but he's 6'4". You
right.
know, he's a big boy. He doesn't look like a 14-year-old
no,
kid. He looks
doesn't.
Like a grown man.
Right.
And he's black on top of it. So.
Right. Kind of double whammy.
And how sad that Elijah cannot just be himself.
Right.
In
right.
the streets.
Right.
Anywhere. You
thank,
know?
Thank goodness. You know, and I'm not saying that anybody, I don't judge anybody for what they do. I mean, who am I to judge? Because I have a past myself. But I'm just happy that he's not out there on the street corner trying to sell drugs
or
trying
yeah.
to find some girl to pimp or, mm-hmm. you know, doing
in a gang
something
or
right.
Whatever
yeah.
else.
I'm grateful
jail.
That
yeah.
my son is a yeah. technical type kid.
Yeah,
yeah
he
me
is
too.
Very,
very much.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that when my son is walking home from school
yeah.
and a police officer drives by him, they take a second look.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why are you taking a second look? This is a young man that's been in this neighborhood for 14 years.
Yeah.
That's got his backpack on coming from a
school.
High school.
And you know, I can
and you're gonna
be
look
with
at him.
Him
like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense to me. So, yeah. you know, this, my personal message, my private message, or whatever you want to call it, to the judicial system and law enforcement out there is you're wrong. You're wrong for treating people differently than you would treat other people. We have enough of that in the world. We have enough of people looking at us as, like we're different. We don't need those who are there to serve and protect us to look at us like that. Also, that doesn't make us feel safe. And I just, you know, I want to say, and you criticize people for not liking the police.
Yeah. And I just want to say, because I know like some people, whenever you say that, they say, oh, that's not, you know, every police.
It's
and,
not every police
You know,
officer.
All of that. And so, yeah, we definitely want to say that, but also, you know, bring the perspective that, you know, we at least have to be honest about what's happening. So maybe you don't understand the racism, maybe you don't understand what is happening, but I think that we have to seek understanding. And unfortunately,
absolutely.
At this point, the police, I don't know, body of this country, you know, the top people of
mm-hmm.
the police union have not shown a real commitment to actually looking into what is happening. And I think that is also, you know, at this point, part of the problem.
Absolutely. You know, you need to be held accountable for what you do.
Right.
And there's too many creating violence and destruction that aren't being held accountable for what they do. Yet, if we do something, you want to make sure that we get held accountable. You know, it's a two-way road. And I hate turning on the news every morning because I just can't stand to see another
right.
young life has been taken. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something.
Or the reaction of another loved one.
Right. You know, those are somebody's children, somebody's parents, somebody's uncle, somebody's brother or sister or mom or dad, you know, and I just feel like, what if this was reversed?
Right.
You know, what if the whole color thing was reversed and, you know, it was white people that was having to do all the getting all shot and whatever. Mm-hmm. How would life, would that even be an issue?
Right.
I mean, no, because people don't want to talk about that. They just want to bust everybody else out for not being white. That's how I feel. Yeah. I mean, no, and like you said, it's not all police.
Right.
But when you put that uniform on, you become not you anymore. Yeah. Now you are an officer.
Yeah, you're serving.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, I've been asked by police before, why don't they like us? Well, it's not necessarily you as a person.
It's the uniform.
It's the uniform you wear and what it represents to that person.
Mm-hmm. Because it says that they're here to serve us and protect us.
Right.
But I really feel that they're here to serve and protect the property of people and those with interest.
Right.
And when you look at the history of police and how it started as slave patrol, like to control, you know, the behaviors of slaves, then you're like, well, yeah, that's exactly what it was. They were property, and still today in protest, they're more concerned about property damage than they are concerned about not hurting people with tear gas. Tear gas hurts.
Yes, it does.
It can damage you
really
bad. I
know firsthand.
And a gentleman actually in Oakland, a veteran who was protesting the Iraq, the war or whatever, Occupy, during the time of Occupy, got like hit by a can of tear gas in the head and like had like crazy head injury. So it can also kill, you know, or hurt people, really damage. So
they had that one teenage girl that they had, you know, put in the back of the car forcefully. And then the car doors closed, the windows down about, I don't know, an inch and a half or so. And they sprayed her in the car. This is a 15-year-old young lady. And you spray her, and then she's screaming and crying. She can't breathe. She can't breathe. And you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You don't open the door. You don't tell her, hey, stop. Don't cry. I'll help you. Don't give her no water. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And sometimes I feel like they're just also trying to just spend money. You know, they're like, okay, we have all this money. We need to spend all this tear gas. Now we have all this tear gas. We need to use it on protesters.
You know, let's keep
it
real.
That's really what I feel sometimes.
Police are public servants.
Right.
Your tax dollars pay for this.
Yeah.
So your tax dollars are paying for these this destruction and this violence that's going on. If you didn't pay your taxes, police couldn't get paid. So
and
keep that in mind.
Yeah, I was watching this video of a gentleman speaking, and he had some really good points about, you know, if we're in control, like we can make our system better. And he was talking about how we need to vote for a better mayor, you know, someone who's going to hire a chief or whatever, a police chief who's going to enforce, you know, the rules on his own or her own. Exactly. And so, you know, for everybody who's listening, just remember that, like, when we vote and things like that, like, we are in control of those things.
And a lot of people don't know that or they just forget.
Right. Maybe not at, like, federal, but definitely, like, state level.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
You know, we vote in, I'm going to put quotes there, but we vote in our sheriffs. We vote in our judges. We vote in our mayors. We vote those people in. So when after time they start doing wrong, we can vote those people out.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to keep them people in office. Mm-hmm. You know, we can fight for them to be kept out or whatever. If we all come together and stand together, you know, stop fighting with each other and stand up and put your foot down and stop what's going on. Yeah. We do have the power to do that.
Yeah.
You know, Marshalia, we've seen it with our own eyes. You know, you've seen situations in our apartments, just small situations, where we put our foot down and we're like, look, no, you're not gonna do this.
Right.
You gotta go. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not okay. And it makes a difference when when you have a lot of voices.
And it always starts with one person.
Absolutely.
You know, it only takes one person for someone else to say, hey, you know, they have the same goal or the same mindset that I got, the same vision, and it just encourages them to do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just remember that also.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to tell you whether to vote or not, but, you know, I will tell you that your voice matters. And for all of you who say, oh, I'm just one person, but the next person that says, oh, I'm just one person, and then the next person that says, oh, I'm just one person, eventually it becomes 1,000 people,
right,
or 5,000 people that are like, oh, I'm just one person, and assuming that everybody else is going to vote or to do whatever, you know. So don't think like that. Your voice does, and it can matter. It can matter volumes if you know what you're doing and what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, I try to have some kind of leg to stand on everything that I talk about. Sometimes it's a little hard because I don't have all my information, but I try not to bring up or talk about things that I don't know what's going on. So,
well, I was, were what? You gonna go ahead and finish
anyway? Yeah, so I just wanted to tell people out there that, you know, your voice does matter, and if we stand up together, then we can stop the violence that's going on out there. You know, we need to focus more on why we have so much homeless people and why mm-hmm. people don't have enough food to eat. You know, we need to focus on things like that. We got to stop the violence and start focusing on what's going to happen in our future if we don't stop the violence now. Mm-hmm. If we don't stop the corruption now, what's going to happen? And that's what we need to think about. So, what do you think? I mean, police corruption, judicial corruption, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
All over the world. But it can be helped if, and like I said before, crawl before you walk. But, you know, something could be done about it if you have enough people doing it.
For sure, for sure.
So,
well, yeah. You're going to say, Marcellia.
I just had, like, remembered we were talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter, and I had seen this thing about, even though Dr. Seuss is dead, about this book on all of the black deaths that had happened, or just, like, the deaths that were occurring, and it was a Dr. Seuss book that was coming out.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's actually, like, a real thing, but I just wanted to, like, let that be known, because that's actually kind of neat that someone wants to create a book, one, in his name, and two, about everything that's going on and making it aware and making it into something positive. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's always so negative on social media and, you
just
know,
media
on the news.
Period.
Yeah, and on the news and things like that. But someone is wanting to turn this into something, like, good. And so I'll look into it in the, our next show, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's an actual thing, but I thought it would be cool to just, like,
absolutely
bring it up.
I also wanted to plug something very quickly. A brand new film that's being released on Netflix this Friday, if you have it. It's called 13th, and it's actually a documentary that's done by Ava DuVernay, and she is the African-American lady who did the film Selma.
Mm-hmm.
But this documentary 13th is about the 13th Amendment, and it relates exactly to what we've been talking about, which is it traces how when slavery was ended, there was a clause in it that said except in the case of a crime. And so the film traces how behaviors of people of color, and especially black people, have been criminalized.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and they trace, like, politician by politician and action by action and war on drugs and all that till today, mass incarceration. So that's, in my opinion, a film that can also help the conversation at this point. So it's called mm-hmm. 13th, and it's released Friday
on Netflix.
Yeah,
right on. You know, I want to put a reminder out there that when we're born, we're born innocent. We're born innocent of all infection. We're born innocent of disease. We're born innocent of ignorance. We're born innocent of everything. We don't even know love when we're born. When we're born, we know nothing. Everything that we do in our lifetimes is a learned behavior.
Right.
The violence that we see is learned.
Right.
You are not born with a machete in your hand coming out cutting people's heads off.
Right.
You're born. In fact, when a baby's born, they don't even have a scent.
Right.
Because they're still pure. So, you know, that weighs on me a lot. As
yeah.
you know, Marshalia, you know, the way people feel in the world weighs on me. And if more people understood that, you know, and saw that it's our behaviors that have caused
right.
people to feel the way they feel and do the things that they do. Mm-hmm. Not any one of us in particular, but just as a society.
Right, the culture that we
come from. Right, you know, we have taught our young to be violent.
Yeah.
We are teaching them to be destructive. That's what we're doing, and we need to stop.
Yeah.
So we gotta stop that. So, my daily challenge for the month.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Also, did you want to end with Crystal again, or did you want...
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. We'll end with her.
So, my daily challenge for the month is, especially if you are somebody who may not have a lot of people in your life that are of any color, black, Mexican, Indian, any kind, or white, whatever, in the opposite way, I want you to take their hand, whether you're a black man and come up to a white man, take their hand, shake it, say hello, make a friend, you know? You don't know anything about that person. You don't know what their life has taken them on. So sit there and shake their hand and listen to what they have to say. You might learn something. This is my friend, Hennessy the Goon, and I'm out. Thank you.
Look at the world around us when it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach its age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord. Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches. Praying that I make it, yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard. Double temptation in my face, my kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth.
The time now is 7 p.m. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. It's time for Hard Knock Radio, your daily dose at 7 p.m. We have a couple of community announcements to make and then we'll get to the program. Thanks for tuning in.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Full Gallop, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs through Saturday, October 8th at the Sanctuary at Sandia Plaza in Portland. Full Gallop is a portrait of